Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome you to our service of worship here today. Whether you're here in the body of the church or indeed up in the hall, I trust and pray that as we meet together to worship God, that you'll be blessed and that God will be glorified. Now, as today, as we are celebrating communion, our order of service will vary slightly. I have you on the way in. You should have been given these little announcement sheets. I'd just like to draw your attention to a couple of items with regards to these announcements. Some of which, a couple that aren't on the announcement sheet. There is no children's church today, as we're celebrating the Lord's Supper. That's one thing I just want to bring to your attention. This evening, our Thanksgiving service, will God willing, take place in Glenhoy at 7:30. So can I encourage you to come along to our Thanksgiving service in Glenhoy. And if you have family members who are endeavouring to come along to that, who couldn't come this morning, we are going to hold communion there for at the end of that service for folks who were not able to take part in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper this morning. So there's an opportunity for them to be able to do that this evening. I'd like to draw to your attention the PW plan to meet in the Bailey Hall on Tuesday at 8 p.m. this incoming Tuesday, where Mrs. Alison Tutty from Faith Mission will be speaking. The Congregational Committee will have a meeting on Friday, this incoming Friday, at 8 p.m. here in the church, God willing. So all members of the Congregational Committee, please take note of that. Our Youth Fellowship will be meeting on Sunday the 14th of November at 7:30 p.m. in the loft, and the speaker will be Alistair McFarlane from CEF. And we're also going to have young people from Cavan Leck and Auchentain coming along and joining with us. So it would be great if all our young people who are in the age category for our Youth Fellowship would come along to that particular evening. I'll just flick down this. Our youth club on Friday night was a great success. I think that's an understatement. We had something in the region of 53 children, which was an amazing and great answer to prayer. So I'd like to thank once again all the leaders and helpers who assisted on the evening. And indeed, I'd like to thank all of you for your prayerful support and in praying for this work. And please continue to do so. It's vitally important that we continue to uphold this work before God in prayer. Remember on Sunday, next Sunday, God willing, we will be having our Remembrance Sunday, and we will have a separate collection plate in the porch of the church here, up at the back of the hall, for people to make a donation to the Poppy Appeal. So if you're able to, please support this important work. And finally, with regards to a couple more things, the Herald magazines are on the vestibule table here in the church. So if you have your name on, if you regularly get the Herald magazine, there's a copy for you here down in the church in the vestibule. And finally, when we come to our COVID-19, you'll see at the bottom at the end of the list of announcements, the COVID-19 protocols that we have laid out. Please read them and please take note of them. And as I always say at this stage in the service, if you should test positive at any stage between now and next Sunday, please give me a ring, and I will then ask you who you were sat behind or in front of. So please take a good look around you now, that if I have to ask you that question, you will be able to tell me with regard to that. And if I do have to make a telephone call, please don't worry. I don't say so-and-so has tested positive. I just say you were in the vicinity of somebody who tested positive. And all I do is ask people to be mindful that if they do take a cold or flu symptoms, just to not assume that it is the seasonal bug, but to take a lateral flow test and just to be on the safe side. Those are all the announcements. We have come here to worship God. I'm going to read from God's word now, just to refocus our minds. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These words from that well-known Psalm, Psalm 23, remind us that the great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ, alleviates the greatest need that all of us have, the forgiveness of sin for all who follow him. He sacrificed himself to pay the price for our sins. So as we gather here today to worship him and to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, let us dwell upon this amazing feat, especially as we stand to sing our opening hymn, Hallelujah, Sing to Jesus.
Thank you.
Let us come before God in prayer now. Let us pray. Gracious God, loving and eternal Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day, for your manifold blessings towards us, and for the privilege we have in being able to come before you. You, O Lord, are eternal, from everlasting to everlasting, without beginning or end. You are all-powerful. You are not limited in what you can do. You're not bound by the laws which constrain us. You see all things. You hear all things and know all things. And you are ever-present, everywhere, all of the time. Your vision does not diminish. Your hearing does not deteriorate. Your knowledge does not falter. And your strength does not wane. No area of creation is outside of your jurisdiction. So all things and everyone is subject to you. Your glory is revealed in the heavens. As your word declares, the skies proclaim the work of your hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they declare knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Your greatness, O Lord, no one can fathom. Your mercy is measureless. Your faithfulness is unfailing, and your love is unwavering. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this day in the name of your Son, our Saviour, who when he walked this earth taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We're now going to read from God's Word, so if you have your Bibles with you, can I encourage you to open them at our reading, which is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, as we take a look at the last section of what has now been, what has become known as the Sermon on the Mount. So Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. And this is a well-known section of Scripture entitled, The Wise and Foolish Builders. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. And we end our reading there at verse 29, and thank God for this reading from his truth. And now we're going to stand to sing again, Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts. words contained in the final verses of Matthew chapter 7 mark the end of Christ's teaching in what has become known as the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew's record of this sermon begins in verse 1 of chapter 5, where we are told that when a large crowd gathered around Jesus, he sat down on the side of the mountain that they were on and began to teach. And as he taught them about how they could gain entry into the kingdom of heaven and how as citizens of that kingdom they ought to live, those listening to him were completely captivated. So much so that despite it lasting for quite some time, as verse 28 of chapter 7 tells us, they were amazed at his teaching. Those words, and that word amazed, does not quite communicate the full meaning of the original term used by Matthew, which is something again akin to they were completely blown away by his teaching. They had never heard anything like it before, nor had they ever heard someone speak with such authority. Unlike the religious leaders of his day, Jesus did not quote from other sources to back up his teaching. Instead, again and again and again, they had heard him say things like, "But I tell you," or "Therefore I tell you." Jesus spoke not as a commentator, but as a legislator. This was the word of God from the very mouth of God. So one can imagine that when Jesus stopped speaking, the crowd sat there in stunned silence, alone with their thoughts as the weight of his words sank in. And given how he ended his teaching when he told them the tale of two builders, well, you could hardly blame them. This Bible story is another well-known one. It has even been put to music in a popular children's song, but that doesn't mean that we can treat it lightheartedly. With our modern minds, we don't realize that in Christ's day, without books to read, the way that most ordinary people learnt was by listening to teachers. So when a teacher finished speaking to those listening to them, they usually did so by telling them something that would stick in their minds and give them something to think about, or to chew over, as we might say. Something that would help them recall and make sense of the other things they had been told. Therefore, as we consider Christ's words here, given that they end his Sermon on the Mount, we need to recognize that this is what these words were designed to do. To round off his teaching here, Jesus began by saying, "Therefore," which, as you know, is a link word, linking what was said beforehand with what follows it. So in effect, Jesus said, "In light of everything that I've said so far," and then he went on to talk about two builders who did things differently, and as a result, had very different results. To begin with, Jesus told the story of the wise builder. He said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain came down, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation upon the rock." Imagine, if you will, a man selecting a piece of ground to build a house on, knowing that the area is subject to extreme weather conditions, such as heavy rain, flash floods, and high winds. Those weather conditions are things that the man knows he has no control over. Therefore, he has to take them into consideration when building his house to ensure that it can withstand them. Not to do so would be extremely foolish, wouldn't it? A house is, after all, a place where you can seek refuge and take shelter from the elements, so it should be somewhere that you can rest safe and secure in the knowledge that it will withstand the extremes of weather. Regardless of what the weather is doing, you feel safe and secure. So as we consider Christ's words here, we need to recognize that house in this context is a place of refuge. And the storms that he describes represent foreboding circumstances of life which we have no control over. These circumstances can come in various forms and in varying degrees of severity, such as a failure to attain something that we have worked hard for, our financial hardship, our illness, our bereavement. Such things can leave us bitterly disappointed and discouraged with life. But as severe as they may be, they are totally eclipsed by the one thing that all of us face, no matter who we are, and that is death. It is the one thing that strikes all of us. So ought we not to plan accordingly? Should we not build a shelter for ourselves that leaves us feeling safe and secure in the most disappointing of circumstances, and one which even death cannot overwhelm? Here in these verses, we find that such a structure can be built, but only if it's founded upon a firm foundation. But I wonder, did you notice, as you read these verses, or as you listened to me reading them to you, that Christ did not simply say or talk about building upon rock? Instead, he said, the rock. There are, as you know, different types of rock, some of which are more suitable for building on than others. So what we can conclude from this is that even though something may seem strong and suitable to us, it may not be. There is only one type of rock that can provide the firm foundation that Christ speaks of here. And that is by taking to heart his words and putting them into practice. By listening to and applying to our lives all that he taught. So in effect, the rock referred to here is Christ himself. The wise person, Jesus says, is the one who accepts that because of their sin, when death comes, they will be subject to God's righteous wrath. And they also accept that there's nothing whatsoever in and of themselves that they can do to make themselves acceptable to him. So, heeding the word of God, they seek God's mercy and humbly ask for forgiveness in Christ's name, trusting only in his achievements at Calvary. And then, out of gratitude for the free gift of salvation that they have received by faith, they apply Christ's teaching on how, as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, they are to live. Striving to live for him, not themselves. To build his kingdom, not their own. So, day by day, they seek to turn away from sin and live for Christ. And as they do so, they learn to derive their sense of identity, their sense of purpose and contentment from him. This means that when the storms of life give them a battering, when the rains come down, when the hurricane force winds blow and the floodwaters rise, whilst they may lose things precious to them, they know that their identity in Christ cannot be lost. They know that their forgiveness cannot be swept away, so that despite the darkness of their situation, despite the pain of their circumstances, they can say with full confidence, I am a child of God, loved by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. And because nothing can change that, all is well with my soul. And when death comes to them, they enter eternity knowing that having trusted in Christ, a seat at the heavenly banquet table has been reserved for them. and a room in the heavenly mansion has been prepared for them. A wise person, Jesus says, plans for their future in eternity. So they build their lives upon Christ, and they use his teaching as the building material, because only he can shelter them from God's righteous wrath. Only he can deliver them from death. Only he can guarantee them eternal salvation. However, not everyone is wise, because in these verses, Jesus went on to talk about a foolish builder. Such a person, Jesus says, ignores his teaching and does their own thing. They are akin to someone building a house in an area that they know is subject to extreme weather conditions, but they ignore this and build one which in their opinion is suitable, but ultimately is not. They ignore those who tell them that unless they put in proper foundations, that the house will not withstand the storms. So when the storms come, the house doesn't merely lose the odd roof tile. The walls don't merely crack. It is completely destroyed. It completely disintegrates and collapses into a pile of rubble. As Christ himself said, it falls down with a great crash. These people build what they deem suitable, and they seek shelter in it, only to find that it will fail them completely. Do we not see such scenes in our world today, where people place their sense of identity, their sense of purpose, and their sense of happiness in the transient things of this world, which, when they are taken from them through a change of circumstances, it plunges them into the depths of despair, leaving them feeling as if they have no hope, no purpose, no meaning, no value. But the loss they suffer in this life is completely eclipsed by the loss they suffer when death engulfs them. Then, despite their best efforts to live a good life, or their sincere belief that God will not call them to account, they will find that as opposed to being sheltered from God's righteous wrath, they will be exposed to the full fury of it. Today, we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to remember how the Son of God came into this world to suffer and die for sin, to endure the full fury of his Heavenly Father's righteous wrath, so that all who trust in him don't have to. He alone died for sin, so he alone can save us from it. So, having considered Christ's teachings here, I wonder which of these two labels describes you. Are you a wise builder? Are you trusting only in the blood of Christ for your salvation? Or are you a foolish builder? Are you ignoring Christ and doing your own thing? There is a saying which goes, failure to plan properly is planning to fail. Failure to plan properly is planning to fail. Is your plan for this life and for eternity founded upon the rock of Christ? Or is it founded upon the sand of your own wisdom? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have reminded us that there are wise builders in this life and foolish builders. Those who trust in Christ and those who don't. Heavenly Father, help us here this morning, this day, to recognize the wisdom of Christ's words. Help us, O Lord, to plan properly for eternity. Help us to put our trust in Christ and no one or nothing else. Amen. Be strong. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will direct your paths. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Before we participate in the Lord's Supper, it gives me great pleasure to admit to the fellowship of this church, the fellowship of the Lord's table, Victoria Watt, and transfer of our membership from Ballynanny Methodist Church. I commend to your love and care, Victoria, whom today we receive into full membership of this congregation. Let our love for Christ breed warmth of mutual affection. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have founded your church on earth and promised to preserve it to the end. We thank you for bringing Victoria to this, your church, and for giving us the joy of receiving her into full communion. We thank you for promises made in earlier years which have been kept, and for hopes expressed then which are now fulfilled. We praise you for every prompting of your Spirit to challenge, for every warm expression of your love to encourage, for every gracious influence of home and family and church by which you have brought her to know the assurance of your blessing and favor, and to want to side with Christ. We pray now your blessing upon her, that she may know all joy and peace in believing. Instruct her mind that she may know you. Strengthen her will that she may serve you. Ignite her heart that she may love you. Confirm and strengthen her with your Holy Spirit. And keep her in your mercy until life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Teach us all, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save the joy of knowing that we do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." The Lord has prepared his table for all who love him and trust in him alone for their salvation. All who are truly sorry for their sins, who sincerely believe in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and who desire to live in obedience to him as Lord, are now invited to come with gladness to the table of the Lord. Come to this table, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have more. You who have been to this sacrament often, and you who have not been for a long time. Come, not because you understand, but because you are understood.
Come, not because of how you feel, but because God has food for you. Come, not because you deserve a place, but because Jesus invites you just as you are. Come and meet the risen Christ. Let us pray. We do not presume to come to this, your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We're not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you, Lord, are the God of our salvation. So cleanse us with the precious blood of your Son, that he may live in us and we in him, and that we, with the whole company of Christ, may sit and eat in your kingdom. Amen. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We're now going to sing the first four verses of the hymn, "Hear, O My Lord." Let us stand to sing. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we gather around this table, we place our focus firmly on Jesus, your only Son, the Saviour of the world. In his life and teaching, we are shown how to live. By his death, our sins are forgiven. Through his resurrection, we have hope of eternal life. Because of his ascension, we know his power and presence. Gracious God, we come as those who are needy. Yet we come with thankful hearts. We believe that you are able to save, able to keep, able to provide us with all grace and spiritual nourishment. Enable us as we gather around this table to see Christ Jesus in all his grace and mercy, that we may feed on him in our hearts. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that in receiving these elements of bread and wine, they may be for us the communion of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. According to the holy institution, an example and command of our Lord Jesus Christ, and as a memorial of him, we do this. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And I would ask you to remove the first layer on your communion capsules. Peel back the first tab to access the wafer. And please hold on to the wafer. We will all take them together. Once I'm satisfied, everybody has got one. Take, eat, and remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Now, carefully peel back the second tab on your capsules to access the cordial. And again, please hold onto your capsule and don't drink until we all can. Take, drink, remember and believe that the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. words of the Apostle Paul. I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. We're now going to stand to sing the remaining three verses of the hymn, Hear, O My Lord. May I remind you, on your way out, please bring the remains of your communion capsule with you. Place them in the bin that's in the vestibule. And I'm going to make my way out at the end of this to stand outside and greet you as you leave. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this meal by which we are reminded of your sacrifice on our behalf. May the marks of your presence be increasingly seen in us. Help us to abide in Christ, ever sensitive to his guidance and obedient to his leading. Grant that, strengthened by this fellowship and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may continue your work in the world until we come to the glory of the eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all and remain with you forevermore. Amen.